Welcome to the wrestling podcast that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on lovewrestling.ca. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. I have a return guest joining me today. And usually when I welcome a return guest, I like to put a little bit of breathing room between their last appearance and this most recent, but it's not my fault because this guy just keeps doing cool shit that I want to talk to him about. I'm, of course, talking about the Animal, Bob Anger, known from the wrestling world here in the Quebec and the Canadian wrestling scene, and known for Lethal Comics out of right here in Montreal. Bob's been on the show several times. We spoke at length about Mother Trucker, his space wrestling trucking adventure comic, which is an absolute must read for any wrestling fan and beyond. Any comic book fan is going to enjoy this one. But today we're talking at length about Psycho Gorman. You might have heard about this film. It's a horror comedy, and over the past year, it's really started to pick up steam in that whole cult film kind of vibe, cult following. And when Bob saw this movie, he saw a muse. He had to be the guy who wrote comics for it, and that he did. He launched his third Kickstarter since October of last year, and just like those first two Kickstarters, funded in a matter of hours. And it's all going towards funding this amazing project. It's, of course, helmed by Lethal Comics. It's got an army of writers and contributors and artists, of course, all eager to explore the world of Psycho Gorman. So what's really cool about this one is this is actually the first podcast I've recorded with someone in person, because Bob was kind enough to welcome me at Lethal Comics Studios in downtown Montreal. So yeah, this was a very exciting time just to get out of the house and change up the scenery a little bit. We're, of course, talking at length about Psycho Gorman. We're going to talk about IWS because Scarred for Life is just around the corner and Bob's got a big tag team match lined up. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Friday Night Speedball, the DIY wrestling show helmed by Speedball Mike Bailey on his own Twitch channel, and in which Bob makes frequent appearances on the card. We're going to talk about all that good stuff right after this message.
Hello, friends. Spencer Love here to interrupt your drive time commute or your regularly scheduled podcast listen to tell you about Love Wrestling, the brand new destination to find out more about what you love in the squared circle. We've got previews, reviews, breaking news, interviews, opinion pieces, features, and more all under one convenient location. Head to lovewrestling.ca, youtube.com/lovewrestlingca, or your preferred podcast player of choice, because you want to check out what you love about pro wrestling.
And we are back. I'm filming on location today. I'm joining Bob Animal Anger here at Lethal Comics.
Lethal Comics, check this out.
Sweet. Gotta rep the merch. Nice. Gotta rep the merch. Thank you so much for welcoming me into your workspace. This is freaking rad.
Yeah. I've had this Elvis for years. I got him at Honest Ed's in Toronto. They used to have this spot where you could just get Elvis busts. I had actually four Elvis busts from Honest Ed's at one point, and three of them were taken by ex-girlfriends at the time.
Oh my goodness.
But anyway, that one I survived because it was all silver and shiny, and I loved it. But Honest Ed's gone now.
I know.
It's such a bummer.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that place was a total maze. It's the only place I've ever been to that was a store that you, when you walk in, you have no idea how to get out.
It was something of a labyrinth. I mean, like, even coming out here to downtown Montreal today, like, there were so many things, like, I took for granted, I expected to see, and they're just closed now.
Oh, park is toast. Like the street park, all of the businesses got rocked in COVID, just rocked. And this neighborhood got rocked pretty hard with closing businesses. Ugh. And it's oddly enough, a crap ton of pizza places opened, like, for slices. All of a sudden we went from like maybe like one St. Viateur pizza place to now there's like 10.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of pizza was big in COVID.
Where's the best pizza place like nearby?
I don't know. St. Viateur moved from St. Viateur to Bernard and I was loving their slices. They had better slices than the new guys. But then I guess it was like 2 weeks ago. All the slices are now just like cheese and pepperoni and I don't eat those.
Yeah. They're not even trying.
No.
They're not even trying.
No. I like, oh, you gotta be like 18 to eat a pepperoni slice of pizza. You know, you want like, you gotta have the business. And after you live in Italy for a year, you know, any pizza in Montreal is kind of like, brr.
I love this evil chair that you're like,
This is my, where I plan my evil world domination from. This is my world domination chair. Yeah.
So step
there's
one.
There's a pair. But my wife's grandmother had to leave the house to go to it's like one of those homes, but it's a it's in Ottawa on an island and has this beautiful like view of like the river and everything. So she downsized from her house because she couldn't go up the stairs anymore. Yeah. So she has the other one, but these pair of chairs, every time I went to her grandma's house in Ottawa, whenever I'd go to like C4 and visit like Uno and Stu and all those guys.
Dark Order.
Yeah, the Dark Order. I think, see, like, this thing, I was doing the cross claws for years. For years before the Dark Order. This is like animals move. I have photo documentary proof of it. And then they started doing this. And I was like, oh man, if I do a claw now, people are going to be like, oh, Dark Order. It's like, I've been doing claws the whole time.
Funny enough, when I had Shane on the show ages ago, he mentioned something about that too.
Yeah, he's got the red hand.
The red hand, yeah.
But that's not a claw. That's like a hand.
Yeah.
The red hand.
It's a little more, I feel like there's another faction that uses a similar gesture.
Yeah. Shane Hawks got me into wrestling, got me into all of this stuff. And I'm trying to get him into comics. And but he was the first one to ask if I wanted to train, first one to came to the IWS dojo. Mm-hmm. It was me and Milano. We're like the first guys. And then I took some time off, and when I came back, there was like Sonny Soleil and some of the other guys. Milano, I think Meradius was there, and some other dudes, but Shane Hawk's one of my best friends, except for in IWS.
Yeah, you're something of a rival.
We've gotten a little rocky. As soon as the masks and the tights go on, it's a rocky relationship. And Professor H.
Yeah, I mean, like, the professor had his big comeback match against you last month at IWS Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
Yep.
Yeah, and you got a tag team match coming up against him this month at Scarred for Life.
Yeah, so here's the deal. You know, I get in the ring, and he brings that gigantic beast with him.
Maxim the Myth.
Yeah, who keeps jumping into everything. And I jumped out of the ring to give him, you know, the animal hammer. And he took the hammer, and then he turned Tonya Harding my ankle. So the rest of that match, I had like a shattered ankle. And I still was whooping his ass. I was still whooping Hawk's ass because, you know, he's just a little guy. And so I was whooping his ass. But, you know, he had to have Max come back in and like cheap shot me and grab my foot. And Ric Flair bumped me off the top. Like, yeah, that guy's a dirty pool, Professor Hawk, or the meatball, as I call him.
The meatball.
Yeah, he hates that. He's real mad about it, actually, right now. He's real pissed that I keep calling him meatball. Because he is a meatball. Look at him. He's a meatball.
I mean, this
like a spaghetti meatball.
But this rivalry, though, it's gone on for a while now. I mean, like, I remember there's footage of Heavy Mania. You're the former Heavy Mania champion, and Shane Hawk cost you the belt to Max and Lemire right there.
Cheated.
Of course he cheated.
I had Max. He had his back to me. I'd been beating his ass, and he was about to go into the black bag. Once he's in the black bag, he's mine. Like, he's doing nothing. That's the end. That's when I get you, and poof, you're done. And, like, right when I put the bag on, he stole it. He also, like, punched me in the face.
That's not
I don't know if you saw that, but he punched me in the face on the outside as hard as he could.
I watched that match with Jason Lapidus, who's a fellow graphic novelist himself.
Oh, yeah.
He enjoyed that match. He enjoyed that match, but he like myself, was very disappointed with the end result.
I can't believe it.
You have a chance to rectify
the... Stole my belt. then, what, 2 years later, Tonya Harding's my ankle. Oh, but now I got... new tag team partner.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You have a chance to rectify these losses to Maxim Lemire and Shane Hawk.
Yeah, bucket list. It's on my bucket list. I'm teaming with Legend.
Legend of IWS.
Sexual Edward, the Sex Express. Does he say the Sex Express? The Triple X Sex Express?
Something like that. I feel like it's evolved.
Yeah. So Sexy Eddie and I are teaming up, and we've been talking about like how funny that would be for years. And the Sexy Beasts will be unveiled at the next IWS show on the 16th.
Is Montreal ready for that?
No. No, they're not ready for how hardcore that match is going to be. It's going to be very... There's going to be... it's going to be oily... It's gonna be furry. It's gonna be like probably like very sexy with overtones of like wanting to throw up.
Everything you want in a good tag team wrestling match.
Yeah. And Eddie and I are just gonna like, we're just gonna sexify Max where he gets so uncomfortable he has to leave the match, and then that's just gonna put the Hawk right where I want him, by himself. He's gonna be by himself, and now he's got Eddie there too, and Eddie's crazy. He'll do whatever.
I like the strategy. Scandalize Maxim Lemire until he's neutralized.
That's my plan. Scandalize Maxim Lemire. Get Professor Meatball singled out on his own. And then Eddie and I are gonna go to work on this guy, and like it's just gonna be revenge. Stole my Heavy Mania championship. Tonya Harding my ankle. And then had this guy cheat so he could get a win on his comeback.
Well, I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding. It's working out for him. I hope you're able to give him his overdue comeuppance.
Every dog gets his day. And this dog's going to get his day on the 16th. I'll tell you that.
Now, it's not the only time you're crossing paths with Shane Hawk, because he's also involved in a bit of a DIY wrestling project held by Speedball Mike, of course, Friday Speedball. Tell us a little bit about that project.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Friday Night Speedball. Speedball is running a really crazy, awesome Twitch phenomenon, I guess you'd say. He's all over Twitch. He's been running it like crazy. He got stuck up here in COVID with only, like, me to beat up.
It takes all of his frustrations out on you.
Yeah, poor guy. Like, and then he's also got, like, he's also got Alex and Chris Tara. That were coming quite a bit, but like, yeah, poor guy. He's like this, like one of the most amazing wrestlers in the world, and the only guy he's got to beat up every week is the Animal. I got beat up by that guy a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, aside from beating you up, he kind of like he made the best of the situation possible by you know, evolving his Twitch channel and now Friday Night Speedball.
So he came up with Friday Night Speedball, and we have been talking about it for like the better part of a year. Kind of doing something that would be just online, that would be like YouTube or whatever. And when the Twitch thing came up, he started talking about, you know, he was always playing matches and doing stuff. So it kind of like click for him that, you know, we should, you know, start doing this stuff. So we started talking about it, and I built a ring for it. I guess you'd call it a ring. It's like a judo ring.
Sure.
It's like basically four big judo mats with a wood frame, and I did all that woodwork myself.
Ah, your craftsman.
Yeah. The animal can work with wood. Yeah. So I did all the woodwork myself right here in the studio. We put it together, and I have, from doing the Kickstarters and wrestling promos and all that stuff over the years, I've got the full lighting equipment to do film shoots and stuff. So we got all the gear here for filming it. So we actually do the wrestling event right in my comic book studio.
Amazing.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So we're running another one on Friday, and the last one was electrifying. There's stuff I want to do as far as the way it looks. Like, lighting was different, because during the day, you know, you have one lighting scenario, and when it gets dark, you have another, and it literally was like getting dark as the thing was being shot. So we didn't really think about that too much, but this time we have actual like hard plans on how to make the thing look amazing. And I got cheated by a lot of these guys, these young guys. It wasn't as much in the video footage, but there was a lot of cheating going on. They would pull my hair and my beard a lot that no one would see, sort of like behind the scenes to tie or win, which is awful. And then again, third time, it was me and Shane Hawk back to back in one of the most electrifying matches of Friday Night Speedball, I say.
Okay.
Yeah, we went toe to toe, and he didn't beat me this time. No cheating. He went full toe to toe, but we ended up tying. The time limit ran out. So I thought I won. I thought, like, if you were to play it back and you went on points.
Oh, a point system.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a point system. That would have been hands down the Animal. But yeah, it ended up being a time limit draw.
Okay. Once again, Friday Night Speedball happens like the occasional Friday.
The next one is this Friday.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
By the time this airs, this episode of Smart and Friends airs, you'll be able to catch Friday Night Speedball is it exclusively on Twitch?
It's on his Twitch channel, but it gets sort of like recorded, and you can just, anytime you want to jump on Speedball's Twitch channel, you can jump on there and it'll be recording.
Yeah,
and you can watch it. So,
yeah he's. I really like his Twitch.
This one's the Drift.
The Drift. I love it. You're doing the
Montreal Drift.
The whole
Speed
Fast
Fam.
And the Fury.
The Speed Fam. Yeah. So, I think everyone that's involved with Speedball knows that Cassidy with the hardest drift in Quebec wrestling is the Animal. Like, he is the hardest drift.
So we got, like, we have to revisit those Vin Diesel family memes and incorporate
the
Animal.
Yeah, yeah. Speed Vamp knows who the biggest drift is. Super drift.
Now, on top of all this amazing wrestling, once again, you've got your hands busy on a brand new comic project. You are involved in the comic book adaptation, or not the adaptation, but a project inspired by Psycho Gorman.
Yeah, Psycho Gorman.
Dude, what a film.
So you dug it.
Yeah, oh my god, I loved it.
How awesome is it? How awesome is it?
So much fun.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine who directed Hobo with a Shotgun and is the director of Dark Side of the Ring, Jason Eisner.
Yeah.
We were chatting on, like, Instagram. I think it was, like, in January or something like that. And I was showing him Mother Trucker stuff, and we were talking about comics. And the other director, producer, Evan, that's a buddy of his, has, like, a YouTube channel about indie comics from, like, old hardcore stuff from New York from the 80s. And Ben Mara gets on there a lot of times. And it's a really great comic show. So we talk about comics and wrestling, because he's obviously, like, super into wrestling and horror movies and stuff. And he's like, there's this movie, Psycho Gorman, you got to check out. Like, my buddy who did The Void, Steven Kostansky, just, like, did this movie, and it's going to drop. So I had a hard time finding it in January.
Yeah, it was
like,
a challenge.
In Canada, it was, like, impossible. Even though it's a Canadian production, it was, like, impossible to find this movie. And I tried everything, and nothing would allow me to play it up here. It was only available in the U.S. And then finally, iTunes. You could buy it on iTunes and watch it up here. So I had to get iTunes, load iTunes, pay through iTunes, and finally got to see that movie. And I don't think I've liked a movie as much as Psycho Gorman since Fury Road.
Ooh.
I was just immediately, like, blown away. I ended up watching it, like, back to back. Two times in a row. I watched it, was blown away, watched it again immediately. And I was like, holy shit, this movie's so good. And then I watched it, like, a few more times that week, and I must have watched that movie like 50 or 60 times now. Well, I'm working on it now too, so.
Of course. Yeah, you're looking for source material.
Yeah, the comic stuff. But yeah, so from there, I was like, I have to be the guy that does the comic books for this. So I knew a few friends that knew Steven, and we sort of got in touch that way. And went through emails, and I talked to Peter Kapulski, and the producer, and Stuart Andrews is one of the guys that was behind the making of that movie. And the three of us got talking, and I had to put together, like, a proper pitch deck that Masao over here, who's in my studio, who runs the video game part of Cut to Bits. They're like a video game startup.
Cool.
He was showing me, like, kind of how a video game pitch deck looks when they're pitching people for, you know, like funds or whatever. So I put together a pitch deck for it, and they went for it. And now we're here. We are. We did. We're 2 days into the Kickstarter campaign. And we're at $35,000.
You've already funded.
Yeah, we already funded. 28 was the goal, but anything from here on out is so I can pay everyone, like, a really good wage on the book. There's 25 creators, and I'd like to pay them a little better than, you know, what the 30 would do.
Sure.
And then and then we're gonna make cool stuff. We're getting, like, cool stretch goals we have in mind, all this cool stuff. I want to bring in other artists that are big in the industry that are friends of ours. So, yeah, and Andrew's got a story in there. Shane Hawk has a story, with an amazing artist from New York named Ricardo Ortiz.
Okay.
And I did a book called Pound for Pound in 2019 for TKO. And he was in the wave after me for TKO. So that's where I saw his stuff. And was blown away by his work. So I got him on here, and the talent we have and the 25 creators that are on Psycho Gorman is crazy. All the guys in the studio, Carl Kershaw, Kerry Nord, it's wild, all the guys we have in here. So Psycho Gorman on Kickstarter, get on there.
Back to your first time viewing it, though. What were, like, some of your favorite scenes, the ones that just, like, you know, this is the movie for me. This is the movie. This is a Bob Anger film to enjoy.
Any of the scenes that were on Psycho Gorman's home world, I was just like I wanted to go there. Like, any of those scenes were like the coolest ones ever. I love the scene where they get into playing the song. Right? Like, they're in a band and he's the drummer. And
yep.
Then they have a scene where he's in, like, a vintage clothing store, and he's going through all the different, like, outfits. Like, I love that scene. That's the coolest. And then my favorite scene is, so we're doing a face mask, like, on the back of a cereal box.
Sure.
It's painted. And I found out it's the dad that painted it from the movie, Greg. He's like this insanely good illustrator.
Yeah.
And like the day that we did the Kickstarter, I was talking to him at night, late at night, like at midnight. The two of us just started going off, and he's like this crazy comic fan. He knows like everything about comics. He has like amazing taste in comics, and we were talking for 2 hours. And we jumped $4,000 in the 2 hours when we were talking about comics. God. And he's like, dude, you just funded. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't even paying attention. I was like talking to Greg from Psycho Gorman. But he has a scene, and you know in that movie he's always he has these scenes with his wife where he's always talking about, you know, I made an amazing meal for my family by nuking the chicken and like all that stuff. Any of the scenes with the dad are like on fire. He reminds me of like a South Park dad so much in that movie. But he has a scene where he's in the truck and his daughter's trying to get him to leave with Psycho Gorman in the back because he's messed up. And he just has this scene where he looks at Susan because he hates the word lazy. And he's like, how's this for lazy Susan? And he pulls off. And I was like, you just used lazy Susan in a movie as a line. And like, if anyone is old enough, they know lazy Susan. Yep. He's like this weird 80s, like 60s, 70s, and 80s like cupboard. Where you'd open your kitchen cupboard and there'd be like this thing that would like spin on the inside of your cupboard that would hold plates so you could hold more and spin the thing around. It was called a Lazy Susan. And I was like, I can't believe there's a Lazy Susan joke in this movie.
That was a deep cut.
But it was a great line. Like it was the delivery of that was like mind blowing. And then I was just like, I love this guy.
I'm glad you brought up the music montage with the Frigg Off song. Where does Frigg Off rank in like a good wrestling entrance music?
Oh, it's high. I mean, yeah. It's high. So is the rap at the end.
Oh, the rap, yeah.
Like the Addams Family style. Like, do you remember that? Like in the 90s when like rap was fairly new, and every movie guy was like, if we don't have a rap on here, the stuff the kids like. Like a corporate built rap, like on top of their thing. So the fact that it had that like amazing rap, and we got that into the Kickstarter video, so that was like really cool.
And like the rap has to explain the plot of something.
Yeah, just really like quintessential plot of, 90s. Yeah, and say the name. Like the Addams Family rap from the first movie is one of the funniest things ever. And I think the second one is done by MC Hammer.
I believe it. I mean, like, yeah, him, like, Vanilla Ice doing the Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
Like,
that was amazing.
It was just an absolute staple of that era. Now, you said you gave the filmmakers the pitch deck, and they're very receptive to it. Yeah. Now that they've, like, kind of, like, put their vision of, like, this character in your hands, has there been kind of, like, has it been easy to work with them?
Yeah, they're the easiest.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, like, Steven and Peter and I, when we get on the phone and we start actually talking about creating stuff, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. And my story is the biggest one in the comic. It's 13 pages. And like Steven basically came up with the concept for all the stories in the book. So the idea that it's all the Galactic Council. And then he wrote like a paragraph on each character with an idea for the writer. Because like in the movie, you don't really have any backstory for the Galactic Council.
No.
Right?
No.
So he was like, I need to do something so that everyone understands a little bit and has an idea where to go. So a lot of like the concept for the comic is his concept, which is super dope.
Cool.
And then the story that we did together, we were on the phone for like, I don't know, 2-3 hours, just like nailing out a story for the one I was going to draw. And the concept he came up with was hilarious. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to.
Sure, yeah.
But like the concept he came up with was like absolutely hilarious. And I kind of like understood that he has this like kind of amazing sense of humor where it's always sort of like a pulling the rug out sort of scenario or looking at like everything from a different sort of like character. Like if I was to do, when I do comedy and I do Mother Trucker, like in my head, I'm thinking Zap Brannigan. You know what I mean? Like from
Futurama. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking Zap Brannigan. So like that, the big hero is the funny one. But he's always thinking about like, what is the perspective of that guy in the room over there? Like, what's his deal on this like person? So his sense of humor is like unreal. But when we were on the phone together working or even in the meetings talking about getting this thing going, the creative part comes out. In a lot of ways, what he's doing with Psycho Gorman and The Void and that kind of stuff is a lot like what we're doing at Lethal Comics. It's like his own thing. It's like, this is mine, my own thing, my own vision. And it's like true art.
Sure.
So it's, you know, working with those guys, it felt like everyone was on the same page immediately. And I'm pretty easy to get along with when it comes to creating stuff. I'm not like one of these artists that's like hardcore about my ideas. I'm just like, let's sort of like riff back and forth, kind of like jazz, right? Like, you're going to do this thing, I'm going to do this thing. Let's, you know, put it together. Oh, you don't like this thing? Well, what do you think? You know, and then we'll figure it out that way.
Right on. I'm glad that the Galactic Council is such like a big part of this project, because like,
oh yeah,
you look at any of these characters, like the anyone who's built by practical effects in this film, they all just like, they tease the imagination. You immediately want to know about, like, you know, the Paladins Obsidian and the Templars. It's really, really cool. Now, out of all those characters, who did you kind of gravitate towards, like, in wanting to?
Oh, immediately I was like, I mean, this is like fairly obvious, but like, I wanted this magazine to feel like, you know, some sort of throwback from like issue whatever heavy metal magazine 1983. So I took Pandora.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's in the council, but she's like the head of the council and kind of like this, like, you know, super sort of like overbearing. Like, I'm the leader. She's like queen of this like group of Templars that are like intergalactic, like basically dickheads, right? That are, you know, like through their religion are telling everyone how to believe, and they have slaves, and Psycho Corman was one of her slaves. So I took her, and the story is super funny, and it kind of revolves around like one of her henchmen. he's the guy that gets it done. Like, he's the guy that gets it done, and she takes credit for it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he never gets any credit or respect ever. But he's the, like, the hero that does everything.
The exact opposite of working with Bob Anger on a comic book project.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny. So that's who I took.
Okay.
There's another character. He's the one that does the most speaking in it, and like he pulls out the 45 at the end.
The calculator guy, the math guy. The highly intelligent one.
Yeah,
but yeah, he takes out.
He's the one that's speaking the most.
Yeah,
I think his name's Cortex. Anyway, my buddy Steve Manali is doing one on him, but I noticed, like, I watched the movie so many times, and no one would ever see this unless they watched the movie as much as I did. There's a scene where he gets up, and Pandora kind of like chokes him.
Yeah.
He's wearing jeans. Like, I watched it so many times, and one time I was like, hey. He's just wearing jeans. Like, they. So one of the first conversations I had with the director, I was like, yo, like, you notice that he's just wearing jeans in the scene? And he's like, yeah, we just couldn't get space pants. So he just wore jeans. Like, and I was like, was that on purpose? And he's like, kinda, not really. And then we had this idea that he was obsessed with Earth. So, like, yeah, he wears like jeans, and it was like the funniest thing ever, but I don't think anyone would have picked that up unless they watched the movie like 50 times like I did.
Oh man.
Yeah. It was really, really, really cool. But those council dudes are crazy.
Yeah.
They're really crazy.
I popped big for Bloodles.
Oh, Bloodles are amazing.
Is there Bloodles in the comic?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've got one or two Bloodles ads. Yeah, I did a bunch of fake ads, like, in the old 80s comics.
Oh, fun.
You know, like, the sand on the beach guy.
Yeah, and, like, X-ray vision.
X-ray vision and moon pies and, like, all that stuff. Yeah,
we've
got all that stuff. But Psycho Gorman did. This was Sea Monkey one that is the funniest shit ever.
When I was a kid, like, I got those comics, like, you know, from the 80s and, like, growing up in the 90s. I'm like, all these ads are expired. I'll never get X-ray vision. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Can't believe X-ray vision isn't real.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can't use X-ray vision and it just doesn't, like, make people look like they have their clothes off, but you can see their skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're actually like, what is X-ray? You're just going to see their skeleton, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Whereas, but they're all like, Superman can, like, see through your pants and just see, like, your junk.
Yeah, he's got,
you know,
like,
what
that.
I mean? You can see you naked. Yeah, he can control his X-ray depth, so he just sees your naked body under your clothes. And I was like, oh, that's not even real, man. It's not even real.
Yeah, just those ads, man. Just letting us down. But Bloodles will not let us down. Bloodles will be truly the real thing.
Absolutely not.
Now, the film's got, like, this very nuanced charm to it. Like, it's got, like, the childhood innocence. It's got, like, a great cast that just clicks. And, of course, the practical effects. How are you capturing, like, that level of charm in the comic?
Well, everyone's kind of like doing their own thing.
Sure.
Mine is, I don't know that mine feels like practical effects, but, like, now that you mention it, I could probably work something in there.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, now that you mention it.
I didn't mean to. Didn't want
but,
me to.
I mean, I'm trying to capture that scene those scenes in space.
Yeah.
On the planet with the pyramids. So my whole thing happens in one of those scenes with the pyramids. So I'm making it kind of like look like that, and it's mine kind of looks like something, you know, that movie cost like $400 million to make. Like, that's my stuff. But there's other ones that are like super subtle that are like cool. Really, really funny.
Yeah.
So you'll see, you'll see. It's like one of those really, really cool things. But as far as like practical effects, like that, he has a company that does that. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
He's like the Phil Tippett of modern practical effects, Steven. And I love his stuff. And it'd be a joy if somewhere on this campaign he could like take us through his studio and we could see some of the stuff. But he has got a great video online of them making the costumes and everything from Psycho Gorman.
There's, oh, like, yeah.
Some great video stuff. Yeah. I watch it with my daughter all the time. She loves it. You should check it out. It's really cool. They
absolutely.
Do like a walkthrough of the studio, and you get to see them making Gorman masks and the Death Trapper guy, where the, you know, he's just got body parts sticking.
Oh, the bucket thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's a guy making that. Like,
that was the one I was like, I want to know more about.
Yeah,
the bucket,
yeah, basically man. you just stick your foes in the top of them, they get buzzed up, and then he just shoots blood at you.
So 64 pages is the plan for this book, plus, like as you said, 25 contributors,
yeah.
Story and art.
Yeah.
Like, what's the division? How, like, how, are we looking at like a series of short stories? Will there be some like just art?
Yeah,
pages?
They're all short stories, okay. with mine being like sort of like the biggest.
Sure.
Yeah. There's mine is like 13, and then there's a few six pagers, there's a few fives, there's threes and twos and ones, and yeah. There's a bunch of different ones, just, and then lots of pinups and ads and all that kind of stuff.
The one you previewed on the Kickstarter, the Hunky Boys pinup, is the...
Oh, the one by Ed Luce. Yeah. The oof. Yeah, that one is amazing. So that came out, like, he did that forever ago.
Okay.
And a friend of mine showed it to me, and I was like, oh, I need to get some Hunky Boys art for this thing. And, like, we have some story stuff, but I was like, I need some art, like a good poster. And like, I was like, oh, that Ed Luce guy, he did like this awesome poster. And like, literally, I think it was like a week and a half ago, I just like messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm doing the comic. Like, can we use this piece? I'll pay for it. And he was like, hell yeah. And I was like, oh my God, we got it. So yeah, I got that awesome piece. Like, so I'm super pumped. It's going to be a free poster with every magazine. You're going to get it on a double-sided poster. So one side's my cover, the Destroyer cover, and then the other side's the Wovable Oaf poster. So
I'm going to have a hard time deciding which one goes up on my wall.
Well, you live around here, I'll give you another poster.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. So, dude, like, this is your third Kickstarter this year. You have crushed every single one, like the first two for Mother Trucker,
yeah,
one
so
and two.
Mother Trucker number two, one and two crushed, and then we're doing this one, and I knew this one was going to do really well because there's like the film and we've got like so many creators. So yeah, this is my third. But then, you know, Carl, my studio that's in Lethal Comics, did his with Charles Christopher, and he like totally, he did over 100. Carrie just did Folklore that we've been putting together for months and months and months for his first series. It did over 100. So it's like, you know, we found our business. So we're going to fit, like, Lethal Comics is now an official business, like registered with government. Actually, technically, because we're in Quebec, all businesses need to be French. So we're bon désigné l'État. So I got my first cards from the bank, like your bank card.
Yeah.
It says bon désigné l'État. And I'm like, oh, it sounds like I'm a hitman or something. Like a French hitman. I love it. So yeah, so everything's official. And it's like, now I'm running a company, and I've been freelance since I was 25, like a freelance illustrator in comics, like working for all the publishers, taking gigs, you know, like almost like wrestlers are completely freelance. So it's you know, I've been working that freelance thing for my whole life, but now that I'm sort of like, you know, into my early 40s, I want some stability. And
yeah.
Kickstarter just kind of like showed me a way to build a business where we'll have stability and we give total 100% freedom in the books we make. You can't get a wrestling book published with a publisher. They just have no interest in it, right? And I knew that like the wrestling book that I would put out would be something like no one's ever seen. So when they say wrestling books, they just think like it's going to be the exploits of like a, you know,
yeah
a wrestler in the back room, like the Mickey Rourke movie. And it's like, no, like, think He-Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, think Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling from the 80s. Like, you know, think about some of this stuff. So that's where Mother Trucker came from. It was like, I knew that I could make, like, the best wrestling comic ever. So
your name is already out there, when you started Lethal Comics and started doing, like, a Kickstarter-heavy movements for your projects and whatnot. Do you have any advice for any artists who are starting to use Kickstarter?
I will say, your level of the career you put into comics definitely is a thing. And it shows. So I have a certain fan base that'll come follow me and buy my stuff on Kickstarter, and that's a certain, almost like dollar amount, where you can be like, you know, this is, he has a good amount of fans. But then you get like a guy like Carrie, who's got Eisner's and did Conan for years and years and years, and you're like, holy crap, that guy's got a lot of fans. You know what I mean? And same with Carl. So it definitely like translates into that. But like, I didn't really think about me having a fan base before I did Kickstarter. You don't really think about it. You're freelance. You feel like no one cares. You know, like the publishers don't care. So why do people care? And then you actually like do a Kickstarter, and you're like, oh, I actually didn't have like a fan base that I had built up over 20 years. So that helps. So I would say to someone that's doing Kickstarter, if it's like your first Kickstarter with a comic book, it's going to be hard for you to get a lot of money. You know what I mean? And like, comics are expensive to print, right? Like, my average cost of printing any comic book is going to be between $5,000 and $7,000.
Sure.
With my printers. Like, so, you know, I look at a lot of the numbers on smaller guys' Kickstarters, and it's sort of like, you know, $2,000-$3,000. You know what I mean? And like, so like, printing is toast. So you got to come up with alternative forms of printing. And there are ways, like print on demand, and like, you can build stuff and make stuff yourself. I've done it for years. I did self-publishing for years. So you can do it. But my biggest suggestion is to do webcomics first.
Mm.
Forget about your Kickstarter at the moment. You know, maybe get like a part-time job or something. And I would work as hard as you can doing webcomics and building an audience of webcomics. So join other webcomics communities. Find out which platform works for you the best. And slowly over, I would say, you know, anywhere between 1 to 3, 4 years, build up an audience. That's why Carl made $140,000 on his Kickstarter for his third volume with Charles Christopher, because he started in 2007 with Transmission X. Like, I had one then too. If I had kept going, you know, I could have, on that comic, I could have like been doing Carl numbers on Kickstarter.
Sure.
But he had, you know, well over a decade of content, so, and fans to come with it. So you need to build up a fan base on webcomics. Any webcomics that are like 5 to 10 years running that come onto Kickstarter, they always crush.
Mm.
They always do really well because they've built a fan base. Okay. So your number one thing is to build up a fan base, and webcomics is free. You know what I mean? It's free for them, it's free for you. You don't have to put in printing money, you don't have to put in production costs at all. It's your own thing. So work away in your art, in your storytelling that works for you, that the comics themselves are charming and fun, right? So yeah, like if you were to look at like a film or whatever and you saw my art, obviously like I'm very European, so it's like just a ridiculous amount of detail. You can do that, but like the pages take a long time. And if you're doing it for free, you want to find an economical way of putting out your artwork that it works for you, and it's simple.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then build a fan base and go from there.
Wisdom from the evil throne right here.
Yeah, right from the evil throne. Yes. I've spent I've been almost 20 years in the business. I've been doing this since I was 20, trying to break into comic books, and I'm 43 this year, so it's like 23 years of me being at this. And like the entire time from I was 6, all I wanted to do was be a comic creator. And then when I hit 35, I was like, I really need to be a wrestler.
Well, now you have the comics never work.
Yeah, now the whole life is bleeding through. Like, my comics are about wrestling, and I'm wrestling myself, and everything's like kind of. And we're starting this wrestling thing with Speedball, and yeah, and IWS is. I'll always be loyal to IWS. Those guys got me into wrestling. Manny and Andrew have always treated me awesome. I worked very hard over a year and a half with Speedball to get to be a better wrestler, so that I could be on their show and give them a product that, you know, is worthy of what they are, what they can do. And, you know, that's part of the loyalty I have towards those guys for getting me into this fun, crazy thing.
Again, as an IWS fan, it has been like it's been a joy to watch you grow as a performer.
And then again, yeah, the thing is, like, remember when I came out during the last IWS show? Yeah. The second I came out, just like everyone kind of went crazy.
Yeah,
that was weird. You have no idea. That was weird. That was so weird to see because I didn't think that was going to happen at all. That people would be like, "Oh, Shane Hawk's in here. We love that." And then when I came out, it's just like, "Okay, this guy's gonna get beat up by Max." And then when I came out, it was just like everyone freaked out, and I was like, "Okay, this." They put a little zap on my brain for a second. I was like, "Holy shit, right on!"
It is well earned, my friend.
And now I'm gonna ham it up next time. Next time we're gonna go bonkers.
Well, I mean, if you're teaming with Sexy
Eddie, yeah,
you absolutely have nuts. To.
I have no idea what he's gonna do. I'm sure it's gonna be crazy.
Bob Anger, I thank you very much for your time, as always. It's always great talking to you, and thank you once again for welcoming you to
Lethal Studios. Lethal. Right on.
Before I let you go, let the audience know once more where to follow you on social media, and of course, leave a comment.
So, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is at Andy Belanger, B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R. If you're in Montreal, you know how to spell that. It's like there's 5 billion Belangers, and we make all the toilets and sinks and shit. Right?
Comics.
Right. Second I moved to Montreal, it's like my name is on all the toilets and the sinks. I'm like, what's happening? This is weird. That actually was weird. I'm moving into my first apartment. Everything says Belanger on it. I was like, they knew I was coming.
Yeah, the ultimate housewarming.
Yeah, yeah. And or someone's playing a joke on me. And then Lethal Comics. Go to lethalcomics.com and you can find everything out about our Kickstarter. Psycho Gorman on Kickstarter, and Lethal Comics has, like, you can read Mother Trucker number 1 for free, you can order the books, you can get Lethal t-shirts and stickers and hats and all kinds of stuff on there.
Beauty.
LethalComics.com is where to go to get on board with our company with Kerry Carl and I.
Wonderful.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It is always great talking to Bob Animal Anger, but this was the first time we were able to do so in person, face-to-face or face-to-mask, as it were. Bob, thank you very much for your time, and thanks again for welcoming me into Lethal Comics downtown in Montreal. Great talking to you, friend. We, of course, spoke at length about Psycho Gorman and how it was fully funded on Kickstarter in a matter of hours, but there's still some amazing stretch goals you're going to want to check out. So if you haven't seen this movie, by the way, you really need to, because, I mean, you know, it's October after all. If you're looking for a good horror movie, here's your perfect recommendation. Psycho Gorman. Great flick. And again, the second you see it, you're going to want to explore the world of Psycho Gorman even further. And Lethal Comics is affording you the avenue to do so with this comic magazine. So please check all that good stuff out. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media. You can follow at Smark and Friends. That's, of course, the show. You can follow my own Twitter at SmarkMouth. You can follow me on Instagram at Smark.Mouth. And of course, you can follow at LoveWrestlingCA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Like what you heard, head over to ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. You won't be rating just Smark and Friends. You'll be rating all the amazing content being created at lovewrestling.ca and being created proudly. So please check that out too. Thanks for listening to my conversation with Bob Animal Anger. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.